I have no idea how bad this is going to sound on the recording, but this room is not well soundproofed, and I need to get some soundproofing later. This foam only did so much, so at the very least, I can still record, just not too loud. I really don't want to be too loud, especially right now. All right. Anyway, formalities aside, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, and Mao Zedong are probably the three biggest guys that people know for mass atrocities, horrible stuff they did to their countries, and the number of deaths behind their name. But there's one guy that gets forgotten, and, you know, you read the title, Pol Pot. I looked into this guy, not because I was fascinated with anything he did, but more caught off guard that somebody like this flew under the radar for years. As an American, we don't really learn about people like this. We learn about the big three, you know, which is Mao, Stalin, Hitler. And Pol Pot just gets left out. And that's kind of fucked up because, like, if you're like me, you learn stuff after school, okay? Like, you learn it on your own. And, you know, years ago I studied this. Or years ago, this was me, like, out of school for years already. But I never got over learning new stuff. And today we're going to talk about Pol Pot because there's a whole rabbit hole. Anyway. I think it was years ago that I mentioned Pol Pot, just kind of casually in conversation on the podcast. We never mentioned that we would do this episode. I think last week I mentioned it for the first time in a while, or first time ever. But I did, in passing, mention it when I thought of, well, at this point years ago, the song Holiday in Cambodia by the Dead Kennedys. This is who it's about. The killing fields were originated by this man, Pol Pot, who, again, was responsible directly, and I mean directly, for the death of 3 million people in Cambodia. And if you're hearing this for the first time thinking, why have I never heard of this man? Chances are there's a whole lot of reasons, really. There's always been some horrible shit going on in the background. It's just eventually things spread. And they take time. You know, it's not right away that it happens. And sometimes people think, why haven't I heard of it? It sounds important. That's the important bit, you know? Sometimes you have to learn history on your own. You have to go out and learn all these things, okay? I've been doing that a lot. Like, for example, Scotland's national dish being the haggis, I learned why we cannot have it in the United States, and that's because we can't really have organ meat, like sheep's lung, which is very important. You cannot eat it there, here in the United States. As well as this other one, it's like a nest made of bird spit. You can't eat that here in the United States because, surprisingly, you can get bird flu with it. And right now, bird flu is running rampant in the United States. I'm not sure you guys knew about that, but it's not pretty. Anyway, Pol Pot. Just the name alone might sound interesting because Pol Pot is such a unique name. Well, the truth is, his name was actually Saloth Sar. And, interestingly, it kind of sounds like my last name. but Pol Pot was a title he gave to himself. It was a shortening of politique potentiel, or potential politics, a French word, translated to English. Because the thing is, Pol Pot actually studied in France. Given that Pol Pot was from a nation that was primarily poor, there was a lot of classism in this nation. Wealth was divided heavily towards the French landowners. And the thing is, he wasn't poor by any means necessary. Pol Pot's father owned 10 hectares of land, which, if you don't know what a hectare is, 1 hectare is 10,000 square meters. So imagine that much land with a lot of potential to grow fields of food. Rice, if I remember specifically. But Pol Pot was actually educated and studied a lot in France, as did many of the people in Cambodia of the upper crust. The thing about it is there's also a lot of subtlety and nuance to all of this, okay? I'm not just saying that a lot of people within this, you know, there's a lot that happened, okay? And given that, let's face it, I'm pretty much the average American, and I like things summarized, I'm just going to summarize it for you. Pol Pot was a communist, but a different kind of communist. The original kind, which, if you don't know, is the ones that actually study directly Karl Marx's teachings, where wealth should be divided amongst everyone equally. in the entire nation. And of course, as mentioned before, there was a heavy wealth distribution where wealthy landowners had most of the money in the nation, as well as the land. They would collect rent from people that were just living on the land. And there's a lot of people living in Cambodia, okay? Like a lot of them. The only problem is Pol Pot was kind of fucking nuts, to put it lightly. The way to explain it is Pol Pot decided, let's create this utopia that Karl Marx wrote about, where wealth needs to be distributed equally amongst every single, you know, Cambodian, which is fair. You know, I understand that as a proper thing. The problem is that's kind of how that works. You get a dictator that promises you everything that you want, but at the same time, they have their own agenda. Pol Pot as well was... Jesus, let me... It's hard to explain. Pol Pot was the leader of the Khmer Rouge, which is his military, essentially. And this is hard. This is really hard. See, I don't do politics for a reason. There's so much fucking nuance. But Pol Pot decided that there's a lot of resistance. Not resistance. He was suspicious of people. A lot of the people he was suspicious of were people in kind of what we would call the middle class, which is they're not poor, they're educated, and they're well off. Some of them are doctors, some of them just wear glasses, okay? Some of them aren't. Essentially, anyone who's not a poor rural peasant farmer was suspicious of Pol Pot, or Pol Pot believed this anyway. The problem was, this is the horrifying truth. This is essentially where he gained his infamy. Pol Pot decided to implement harsh restrictions. For example, if you're educated, you're dead. If you wear glasses, you're dead. If you're educated in any way, you're dead. If you are smart, you're dead. If you speak more than one language, you're dead. If you're, you know, at this level of scrutiny, almost immediately, by the way, all this took place in 3 years. It was really fast. That's not even a presidency term. So, if you haven't heard of Pol Pot, that's kind of why. It's because it happened so fast. Like, yeah, there have been growing tensions between the peasant farmers and the rich landowners. But for it to bubble over so fucking fast, dude, yeah, that's pretty bad. Not only that, they were also allies with China and these communist parties that essentially thought of self-sufficiency as a very important detail. And of course, Pol Pot was no different. However, he wanted to modernize Cambodia. And the problem is, when you have a bunch of rural peasant farmers, they don't know how to work industry, they don't know how to do textiles, they don't know anything, right? They don't know any of these important modern infrastructures, how to build buildings, all these things. Another problem was you just killed the people that could have educated them. Because you thought, oh, these people are smart, they're going to be suspicious of me, they're going to overthrow, overrule, and overtake me. They weren't. There was no point. You started it. You pulled the trigger first on a bunch of innocent people. So, it was bad. It was very bad. In fact, 3 million people died as a result. And it was so bad to the point where there was a now famous place called the Cambodian Killing Fields, where you could imagine it was just a mass grave for these people. And keep in mind, something as small as wearing glasses would get you killed. I'm wearing glasses right now. I'd be a victim. I went to college. I'd be killed. All of these things. Nothing huge either. All you have to do is not be a peasant, essentially. So the middle class was essentially wiped out one by one by one, over and over again, in the Cambodian killing fields, which are still there to this day. They're not, you know, they don't have these same crazy rules. Pol Pot is fucking nuts, by the way. And I hate to say it, but you see pictures of him, he looks like a dunce. You know, like, I know it's kind of a low blow to aim for people, you know, below their crotch, but he looked like there was two brain cells in his head, both fighting for third place, and they both lost. Does that make any sense to people? I heard that as an insult the other day. I loved it, but it doesn't make sense in this sentence. Pol Pot was a bad guy, okay? Let's face it. I get the idea that he had. We're implementing communism, you know, to help out everyone, but there are ways to do it. This is not one of them. You know, forcing people into modern industries that they have no idea what the hell they're doing. like, come on, dude. It's like what China did when they tried to do that thing. It's the same thing Mao Zedong did, okay? But Pol Pot did it, where the peasants were now working in modern industry and they didn't know what the fuck they were doing. So they were just winging it. And eventually they started making like in iron industries, right? Where they'd make iron that was so low quality, it would just fall apart when being used. Stuff like that. One thing that's kind of fucked up, as I mentioned before, one of the main things they were looking for were people with glasses because they were assumed they were wealthy and educated. Just having glasses meant you were wealthy and educated. You didn't even have to actually be that. You know, you had to throw away your glasses, essentially. And in Cambodia to this day, similar to Auschwitz, where the Nazis, you know, made sure that people discarded all their items, the killing fields in Cambodia, there's piles of glasses, which is very dark, very dark. But how did we actually get to Pol Pot having all this power? With the Khmer Rouge, specifically. Well, the thing is, the French colonials ruled pretty much a majority, if not the entirety of the country. Cambodia was under their rule, basically. However, there was at some point a revolt where the Cambodians were done. They were tired of them. They said, you know, get the fuck out of our country, and they revolted. It was a historic revolt where they got rid of the French colonial rule. And they were finally independent. At this point, the problem with doing stuff like this, right, is that there's often consequences, right, where you have a ruling class and you finally get rid of them. There's a problem, though. In society, there has to be a ruling class. It doesn't matter if you hate them or love them. The problem is it has to be there. That's what creates a power vacuum. Once you get rid of that, there are people with power, with influence, that decide, okay, now that these people are out of office, we're going to storm it. And then you get someone else who says, no, we are. And then, bam, you get a civil war. And it's as simple as that. Essentially, what happened was a massive civil war afterwards where it was bad. It was really bad. This was, at this point, Pol Pot was not in power yet. In fact, he was only tangentially involved with the Khmer Rouge. He slowly built his way up to leadership during a civil war. Which, by the way, of course, the United States was involved, and 500,000 tons of munitions and explosives were dropped all over Cambodia. Why the fuck did we do that? Well, there was somebody who died recently, and no, they will not be getting sympathy on this podcast. Henry Kissinger. Was that Henry Kissinger? Let me look it up. Yeah, it was Henry Kissinger. How the hell did I forget that? Anyway, yeah, he died recently, but Henry Kissinger was essentially directly responsible for the bombing of Cambodia in large, large numbers. I want to emphasize that. Heavy underscore large. Why? Well, apparently in an effort to flush out Viet Cong forces in the east of the country. I mean, never mind the fact that a majority of the people, if not all of them, in fact, all of them, let's say all of them, were innocent people, bystanders who just wanted to farm. These were people that did not do anything. They didn't take up arms. However, because of Kissinger's fucking stupid actions, this directly resulted in the Khmer Rouge getting way stronger because people thought, what the fuck? We're being attacked for doing nothing. We're literally just farming, and these motherfuckers are bombing our fields. And that is how you radicalize someone. Because at this point, the Khmer Rouge began to grow greatly in numbers. Because a lot of them thought, well, we have to pick a side now. We didn't want to. We did not want war. We did not want bloodshed. But here we are, bombed for being innocent. So they took up sides. Pol Pot at this point began growing immensely in power. And actually started as the secretary for the Khmer Rouge. He was not at the top yet. But thanks to the bolstering numbers, that definitely helped him out. However, I did mention something earlier, and I want to get that cleared. I want to get something cleared. The Viet Cong did actually were kind of there in the, being bombed. But the thing is, those that were under Pol Pot became the Khmer Rouge. They decided, all right, we got to become this Khmer Rouge. And the Khmer Rouge was a guerrilla army. They were focused heavily on military tactics where they just wouldn't be seen, you know? They were very quiet, very subtle, and then bam, they would attack when you didn't notice. By the way, guerrilla warfare, one of the most effective warfare tactics in history. I don't know if you guys knew that. It is brutal. It is fast. It is successful. That's the thing. Guerrilla warfare is intense, right? Where you can get a group of five or six people and that is all you need, provided you do guerrilla warfare properly. Now, what is guerrilla warfare? Essentially, you can hide in the bushes like a guerrilla. You have to have a way where you're completely 100% camouflaged, slowly making your way to the enemy. You got to make sure you're not heard, right? And I think a lot of people have seen the memes where it's like they're in the fucking trees. You know, the Vietnam War, where every single tactic was essentially guerrilla warfare. You would hide in the trees, hide in the bushes, hide in the ground if you can, and begin firing from a position where if you're fired back at, they mostly miss. And it was very effective. Seriously, Vietnam was brutal. I should talk about that more later. But, you know, with time. Because I feel like Vietnam still is a sensitive topic based on the fact that there are people that survived the war and are still alive to this day. It's one of the most sad wars, to be honest. This is a turning point for America in that war. The Vietnam War essentially taught people that patriotism doesn't work out all the time. What I'm getting more as I study Pol Pot and all these other dictators is there's a concern that I have. The concern being, and I'm not going to name any names directly, but the concern being is that there seems to be an ideal and similar tactic to this man, Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong, and most dictators. The problem being is that what you essentially have is loose ideologies around a charismatic leader. These two things, right? Very simple, very effective. Basically, these two things, along with someone who's very charismatic. That's the important part. Pol Pot was very charismatic. Same as Adolf Hitler. Same as Stalin. Same as Mao Zedong. This is the problem. These people know how to get your attention. And I've read some comments where they even said Pol Pot felt like a father addressing his children. Which is very concerning because that sounds like the Manson family, right? Seriously, where do you think they got the idea from? Do you think Charles Manson got that idea from books? No, he got that from them, you know? Read history books, goddammit. History repeats itself. Okay, history doesn't repeat itself exactly, but it tends to rhyme. You know what that means. Oh boy. Before people start thinking I'm getting into politics of the modern day, no. However, I'm not saying I'm not, but at the same time, you know, shit happens, okay? If the shoe fits. Pol Pot, on the other hand, is dark. Just thinking about how many Cambodians died just for wearing glasses, that's what fucks me up the most out of everything. Why that? It's such a specific thing. And then you think about how some countries have different forms of health care, some things might be more expensive, like in America. Some insurances don't cover dentistry. How the fuck is the ability to eat not a human right? You know, like if you don't have teeth, you can't eat. Simple as that. Why the fuck is that not covered by insurance? That doesn't make any sense. Having said that, America is controlled by a bunch of whatever. I'm not going to get into it. I'm really trying not to get into it. But again, if the shoe fits, it's as simple as that. You know, I really need some soundproofing foam. I really hate the fact that the echo in this room. If I go a little loud, it just starts echoing back and forth, and it ends up in this echo chamber. And now my nose is full. Great. Yeah, I haven't gone over my allergies. But they're getting way better. The initial allergy season, when it first starts, that's what fucks me up. And do you guys remember the episode I had to fully delete? I said I was going to make another episode, but to be honest, I don't think I can. Just because I've been so busy lately. This house is not falling apart, but there are parts of it that need some serious fixes. Serious fixes. I don't know, man. It's kind of awkward. Like, no one told me home ownership would take up a majority of your time. Fixing furniture isn't hard, but when they fuck up on some stuff, like they don't send you the screws or anything, it's a nightmare to get a hold of the people. And in one of the cases that we have, we bought something and they didn't fucking fix anything. It was so annoying. It was incredibly frustrating. We left a 1-star review on Amazon. Like, seriously, like, I don't know how the fuck you fuck up this badly. Like, just give me the screws. Just give me the bolts. How the fuck is it that hard? Fuck you, man. Look at me ranting about my personal life again. I seem to be doing that too often. Look, it's sometimes you have to differentiate. Sometimes you have to get off topic just because the topics can get heated. And if you listen to the Meat Weed podcast, you realize that we don't try to do that. We don't try to get heated emotionally. We don't try to scream at people. We don't try to tell people, you're a Nazi. We don't.
We don't do that here. You know, we try to keep politics out of entertainment. We really try to, but that's kind of what history is all about. It's all about fucking politics for the most part. Shit, even the Romans. Anyway, back to the Civil War. I forgot to mention who was involved. The Khmer Rouge, I know everyone knows that one because, you know, Pol Pot. But General Noel, I believe it was his name. General Lon Nol, that was his name. His forces versus the Khmer Rouge. Ultimately, that fight, that civil war, which the Khmer Rouge won, is what led Pol Pot to start rising in power. Because little by little, he began to grow influence over the Khmer Rouge. And that ultimately ended, I think, around 1978, if I remember correctly. That's eerily soon. Like, in terms of history, you don't think about how recent that is. Holy shit, Pol Pot came into power 1 year after the first Star Wars movie came out. This was happening in the modern era. You know that song, Psycho Killer, Kiss Kissy, that one, right? You know that song. That came out the year before Pol Pot took power, okay? This is before all of that horrible shit happened. So, it didn't even reach the 80s. He died in 1979. It was just before the 80s. And holy shit, what a time to be alive. What a time. I'm going to be honest. The reason I'm caught off guard is because I had no frame of reference for these years. Because, you know, I'm born in 1999, 1997. So, I don't have these frame of references. And nor did I learn the history of other parts of the world, because in the United States, you only learn about the history of the United States and the big guys in World War II. That's it. That's all you learn. And yet, I did not know that this happened in such a modern era. This is genuinely surprising to me. The warlords that I thought of that were from years ago were actually just the 70s. The 70s. Okay? That's fucking nuts, dude. Imagine. Like, my God, dude. Hang on. I'm at a loss for words. Pol Pot was overthrown when the first cell phone came out. Holy shit. It was those really big ones. You know, the big brick ones? Yeah, of course you don't know. You're young. There were these phones when they first came out. The cell phone. The very first one was like the size of a brick. And you had to pull out an antenna from it. And obviously, I don't know. I've never had these either. But a lot of people back then said, oh, if you use them for too long, they'll cause tumors. That's kind of where all those rumors came from when cell phones, smartphones started getting all big. People thought it would do that, but it didn't, because technology doesn't work that way. If it did, you know, there'd be radiation in our phones, which no, that's not how that works. I mean, granted, some of your conspiracy theory grandmothers probably are saying this shit, but don't listen to them because, you know, they're just... What else are they doing, you know? Admittedly, it's good that he got overthrown when he did, because Pol Pot's reign could have been significantly worse with an invention that came out in 1978 called the GPS. The GPS came out. Interesting. I mean, obviously it wasn't the same as, like, our modern-day interpretation of the GPS. I pull up Google Maps and be like, ah, there we go, we're going over here now. No, it's not like that. Back then, it was a very rudimentary system, but the fact that it invented and was started, you know, back then. Now, most technology that you have nowadays is just a reinvention of something that already existed. Like the cell phone. The smartphone, you know, I think the iPhone was like one of the first big ones, and everyone just started copying it. But all this technology started roughly around the time that Pol Pot was still in power. Also, a year before the overthrow of Pol Pot was the Jonestown Massacre. I'm comparing all these things in history so you have a rough outline of when this happened, you know, because a lot of the stuff that I knew about in these years is coming to light, and I'm very surprised about it because I didn't know that Pol Pot was around during all this shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you guys did. I didn't. I did not, you know. Again, American. Americans learn about American history, and that's it. America's a big country. And if you're more of a pop culture guy, you want to know what came out pop culture-wise. These are the movies that came out in 1978, 1 year before his reign ended. Grease, Superman, National Lampoon Animal House, Every Which Way But Loose, Heaven Can Wait, Jaws 2, Hooper, and Revenge of the Pink Panther. All of these came out a year before Pol Pot was taken out of power. 1 year. Holy shit. Do you think back then they knew about this? Do you think back then they were hearing about the stories and thinking, oh my god, what's going on overseas? That's terrible. Like, Henry Kissinger fucked us up, man. It's crazy. Like, I heard an interview once where someone talked about how Henry Kissinger, if you knew what he did in Cambodia, or you just have to go to Cambodia once to see what Henry Kissinger did, and you would want him to go to hell over and over again. I forget who said that, but after learning this, yeah, I agree. I agree. Fuck, man. History could be dark. This podcast, I try not to be too dark. You know what I mean? Let's look at a little bit more stuff as to what was invented during this time, because people tend to not click these two together, you know? Harvey Milk became the first openly gay person elected to public office in California in January 9th of 1978. While all of these things were going on. And holy shit, this is so crazy. You know what else started that year? AMPM, the gas station. The fucking gas station started during Pol Pot's reign. You know what's crazy is how small fucking history is. You know what I mean? You know what candy was invented in 1978? Reese's Pieces, one of my favorite ones. Oh my god, man. What's going on? My throat hurts, man. My throat hurts. Talking about all this stuff. There's got to be more stuff, too. How about this? Let's look up 1979 when Pol Pot was finally overthrown. You know, Pol Pot's ending brought a lot of good shit in. Such as the computer. If you have a PC, you're welcome. You have. What am I saying? You're welcome. What the fuck? I didn't do shit. Anyway, the personal computer. Omeprazole. Voicemail and genetic engineering. Also, the dual cyclone vacuum cleaner, but I don't know, man. I prefer my Dyson. I think it's the same one, right? Is dual cyclone still like a popular thing? I don't think so, right? I don't look into the schematics of the vacuum cleaners that we buy. You know, I have Peggy, which is my Roomba, but we recently bought another one, which is way stronger. Another vacuum cleaner. I don't know, man. Well, I talk about appliances a lot for some. You know what? Is this what homeownership is? You just get excited about appliances? I sound like a parent. I sound like a dad. Oh, God. My Sharona became popular in 1979. It was number one on the Billboard Hot 100. My Sharona. You know that song? Number one, 1979. The year Pol Pot was overthrown. A Happy Meal cost $1.10 back then. You know what? This is getting me nostalgic. Nostalgic, what the fuck? I'm not that old. Holy shit. I know some people listening probably are, though. Mainly because, I mean, what else are you doing, you know? Just chilling. Sitting. Y'all retired. You know, retirement age is, when you're older and working, you realize how nice it sounds. And the sad part is, I don't know if I'll be able to retire with the jobs that I have. Let's hope for something better. Yay. Anyway, that's gonna do it for this episode of the Meatweed Podcast. I am, again... Actually, you know what? I forgot to mention one thing. Okay, this has nothing to do with Pol Pot. Also, I try not to talk about stuff in such a negative way. So if I seem to not take this thing as seriously, I'm not going to lie. You know, I feel bad for everything that happened in that era. I do want to blame Henry Kissinger because, you know, fuck that guy. But Pol Pot was a dark stain in history of Cambodia. Having said that, I feel like way too little people know about that. So look into it. Okay, look into it. It's a very serious topic in history. And the people that were traumatized and scarred from that are still around to this day. Because if you look into the history of it, right? Like I said, it happened during Star Wars' release. That should be enough to tell you that, yeah, these people are not only still around and kicking, but they definitely remember what happened. That's fucking dark, dude. Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of the Meatweed Podcast. I have another YouTube video coming up where I actually decided to... Okay, you guys already know by now, I moved into a house. We bought a place recently, and some stuff was left behind. Some stuff that is almost impossible to buy now, but I found an MRE. I believe, I don't know what year it came out. I look into it further, right? Well, I'll look into it further when it comes out. I'm trying not to spoil too much about the YouTube video before it comes out. I already finished recording it. I'm just doing the voiceovers and editing right now. And I know that a lot of people are thinking, well, it hasn't even been a month. Look, I'm trying to upload a bit faster. You know, now that we have the studio up, I know we don't have soundproofing, but we're going to do what we can with the material that we have, you know? I feel like I've delayed way too much. I've had a lot of stuff going on in the background, but I'm up to date now. My allergies have calmed down, and we're all good. We're all good. Anyway, see you guys next week.